Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Some of you would remember John and Sadie Roma. They were with us when we were on Central Parkway in the second location. Sadie had prayed for John for years and years and years. John grew up as a religious person, and because of his church identity, and he just believed that that was all there was to it. That's all he needed, that through the church he would be saved. Sadie would sort of drag him along to church. And I could always tell the men who were being drug along because their heels left scuff marks in the floor as they came in. And John was one of those guys. And I don't know how many years John was dragged to church by his wife, but she brought him in, and she would always say, "Pastor, pray for John. Pastor, pray for John." She was always asking for prayer for John. And John thought he was just fine, you know. He didn't think he needed to be born again. That's something that, but he loved his wife and he put up with her, but he didn't agree with her and he didn't listen very well to her. And some of you have heard me tell this story where Sadie called me one day at the church office and she said, "Pastor, would you consider driving the bus to Orlando for a Benny Hinn meeting?" And I didn't know how to say no to Sadie, but I knew what that was going to involve. It was going to involve however many services we had, and then we were going to be driving for hours to get up there, and then we'd have hours of a meeting, and then I would be driving back home and probably get home midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, that it would be perhaps a little more than I was physically able to get excited about. And I thought, besides, what is there in Orlando with Benny Hinn that God couldn't do right here? And so I want to just challenge you this morning to understand that God is able to work through things and in ways that we may not understand. You may be praying today and believing God for some to come to Christ. You're exercising your faith. You're believing God for a breakthrough. And you may not see anything happening whatsoever. And of course, this was Sadie, and Sadie had done all that she knew to do. And she didn't have any words. She didn't tell me, "Now, Pastor, you know, God has told me if we go to Orlando that my husband's going to have an encounter with God." She didn't share any of that. But she just had the kind of faith that said, "Anything and everything that I can do to get my husband exposed to the gospel, I'm just going to believe." You know what? She had hope. She had hope. She did not let anything steal her hope that her husband was going to be saved. Well, yeah, we ended up going to Orlando. And John at this time is 90 years old. And when he got off the bus, we're there at the convention center. And, you know, I'm just hopeful he's going to make it in the building. And so, you know, there were plenty of hands to make sure that John made it in the building. John Roma made it in the building, and he found his seat, and we were fairly close. And, you know, the evening meeting was going on, and some people have loved and been ministered to by Benny Hinn, and some believe he's a fake. But I'll tell you, don't judge what you don't understand. Don't judge what you don't understand. God dealt with me about that. I used to point fingers and say, "Well, I don't see that. God doesn't work with me that way." If you don't understand it, commit them to God and let them do what God is leading them to do. And you do what God's called you to do. I think sometimes the enemy would like for us to be judges of everybody else while we sit and accomplish nothing. And so here we were. And I have to tell you, I did not have a lot of expectations going in there, but Sadie had an expectation. She just believed this every day. Believe every day that God is going to fulfill the hope that He's put in your heart. Sadie just believed that every day, if yesterday was not the day, then today's going to be the day. She just believed that God was going to touch her husband. And that night, God touched her husband. That night, John Roma fully surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He had an encounter with God that was radical and life-transforming. And John was a different guy. When he came into service, he could barely sit in his seat. He was so filled and so charged with the love of God and the presence of God in his life. Sadie was beyond herself. And I'll never forget the morning when John came to the front, and he is now 91 years old at this time. And he wanted to testify. And John's testimony was this: I have never felt this good in my whole life. He lived 90 years to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And at 91, he said, I have never felt this good. He was just beaming with the presence and power and the anointing of God all over his life. John is now with the Lord today. But God put that on my heart this morning, and it was kind of an interesting thing that as I was reading, and I did not have any clue this was going to come up in today's reading, God had put on my heart to talk about John and Sadie, because I believe someone is praying for someone that needs to be encouraged this morning. You need to renew your hope. You need to quit looking at the circumstances, and you need to start looking at God. You need to let God stir up hope inside of you so your faith has something to grip. It really is your active faith that your hope is established in. And so when I came to June 9 this morning, there was a note that I had written in my, this is actually one of the devotional books I go through, and it's entitled, my note is, John and Sadie Roma. And I had in my notes to share about John and Sadie Roma. And I just wrote down where John said, I am now, he was 92 at this time. I am now 92 years old and have never felt better in my whole life. John accepted the Lord at 90 in Orlando at a Benny Hinn meeting. I had no interest in going as the way required, and I already told you about all of that. But this is what took place in just one of the families in our congregation. Over the years, I have seen so many lives transformed by the power of God, by people who simply believed and would not quit believing God. I want to encourage you this morning to stand strong in your faith. Stand strong in your faith. We're going to look at Elijah for a few moments. So 1 Kings chapter 16. And we're just going to look for a moment at the introduction to what's going on there in Israel. Now we have Judah and we have Israel. So we have the 10 tribes to the north. We have the two tribes that are actually in covering Jerusalem. And so this is Israel, not speaking of Judah. And it says in verse 29, Ahab, son of Omri, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. And so Ahab, any of you heard of Ahab? Anyone heard of Ahab? Well, he starts out with a strong word about who he was and what he did. He reigned in Samaria 32 years, but Ahab did what was evil in the Lord's sight. This is Ahab. He's an evil man. Even more than any of the kings before him. So he has a notorious reputation for being the most evil of the kings up to that time. And as though it were not enough to live like Jeroboam, he married Jezebel. Any of you heard of Jezebel? Anyone heard of Jezebel here? A lot of people heard about Jezebel's spirits and such forth. So he married Jezebel. And of course, Jezebel's the daughter of King Baal of the Sidonians. And so we've heard of Baal worship, right? And so at this time, Ahab begins to worship Baal. And first he built a temple, an altar for Baal in Samaria. Then he set up an Asherah pole. He did more to arouse the anger of the Lord. This is a strong statement. He did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the other kings before him. He's an evil man. Ahab is a very evil man. Ahab and Jezebel are the ones who are leading. That gives you some context. And want to just start by looking at the prophet's life. And we will see that in chapter 17. Let's just look at a few verses. Let's look at verse 1. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe, we don't know a lot about him, in Gilead, so we don't know anything really about his family. We don't know a lot about his background, but we know he is a prophet for sure. He told King Ahab, he had been listening to God. Now today, if you tell people that God's been talking to you, there's a lot of people that are going to think you're a nut. But that is very unfortunate, because God has talked to his people since the Garden of Eden when he created us. And the Word of God is filled with God speaking to his people. Now, we have the Word of God. We don't add to the Word of God. We don't take away from the Word of God. But God does speak into our lives and gives understanding and application of his Word and his will in our individual lives. And God continues to do this morning. And those who have ears to hear, Revelation says, hear. If you have ears to hear, to listen, hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Revelation being the book that talks about the day you're living in and I'm living in, which are these end days. The Word says, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit would say, hear what the Spirit says. Well, Elijah's a man who hears God speak. And I'll say this about those who hear. Most of the time, if you are following Christ, it's one who is listening and seeking to hear from God. Now, God can scream. God can speak very loudly. Even unbelievers can hear God talk sometimes. But I would encourage you, as you read the Word of God, that you would start by saying, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open my spiritual ears so I can hear and understand what you want to say to me. We're not reading the Word of God so we become educated in religious science. We are reading because we're in a relationship and we want to hear God speak into our lives. Well, Elijah was hearing, and God gives him a message that is a very strong message. He went to King Ahab, and this is what he said. As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God whom I worship and serve, there you go, there's his identity with God. I worship, I serve, and obviously he's listening. There will be no dew or rain during the next few years unless I give the word. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That God would say to the prophet, I am sending you with a message for the king, and the message is, that drought starts today. Your kingdom is going to go through a very difficult time, and there will not be any more rain until I say so. Now that's kind of bold, isn't it? To have that kind of faith, to be able to go and actually believe, well, you know, I heard from God. Well, someone's going to say, well, how do I know it's God? How do I know it's not me? How do I know it's not just some kind of a dream? It's not the pizza I had. Well, you have to be close to God to know the difference. But if you are, you'll know the difference. You will learn to know the difference. And you will know when God is saying to you something to do and applying the word or going somewhere. The property that we have, it's been a long time since I told the story. Jan Vasker was the one that actually first located the property, and she's with the Lord today. She was a realtor, and we looked at it. We put an offer in on that land, and they did not accept our offer, and they ended up taking it off the market, and it had been off the market for a long time. And one morning, I was just doing what I do in the morning. I get alone with God, and I trust you have a time, morning, evening, sometime, where you get alone with God, where you are not hearing anything else. It's quiet, and you're able to seek the face of God. And that morning, God spoke to me and said, I want you to call, make that offer on that property again. And so I'm like, okay, well, Father, when am I supposed to do that? First thing this morning. That is how we ended up with our property, family. God spoke. You see, when you ask me, are we going to build? Is God going to do something? Let me tell you, God is doing something. I don't question it. I've had pastors tell me, I bet you really missed the parkway where you had buildings and you had a lot of nice things going on over there. Well, I could look back and say that we had some awesome days of victory and salvation at that location. But I'll tell you, I'm not living with a rear view mirror perspective on my future. I am looking forward to what God said that He is going to do. That morning, I waited. I figured perhaps the realtor would be in his office maybe by 9 o'clock. And I waited right up until the 9 o'clock to make that phone call. And when I made that phone call that morning, the realtor said, Preacher, how did you know to call me this morning? And God always will tell you, if He's told you something, He wants the glory for it. He gets the glory for it. So He said, tell Him. It wasn't like, well, it just came to me this morning. No, that's not what happened. In that morning, God spoke to me. And so maybe someone's going to say, McLean, you're crazy. And that's okay because I've been called worse things. But God spoke to me. And so I told the realtor, in my devotions this morning, God spoke to me and told me to call as soon as you open this morning and make that offer again. He said, the same offer that was refused? Yes, the same offer that was refused. Well, the rest of the story I'm not going to go into this morning, but I'll simply give this part of it. He called me back and he said, I called the man who owns the property. You see, the rest of the story is, the day before I called him in the morning, that man had called the realtor and said, I'm thinking about listing the property again. That was the night before. That's why the realtor said, how did you know and why are you calling me this morning? God only knew that. I didn't know that. God knew that. So then he calls the man who owns the property, and the man, before anything else was said, he asked this question, is this the same crazy preacher that made that low offer last time? And he said, yes, it's the same preacher. He said, call him and tell him he's got a deal. That was it. That's how we bought the property. Now you may say, wow, that's cool that God did something like that one time in your life. But I want to tell you, God does things like that all the time in our lives. Not one time. There are some big things that are more significant, but God is at work all the time in our lives, and we need to be taking note of God's work in our life and writing it down and remembering and retelling the story, because a lot of people don't have a clue. They're religious to a degree. They believe in God. They may be born again, but they don't know that God's mouth is still working. It is. It is. And His ears are still working as well. And so we have a prophet. He hears from God. He puts his life on the line and he goes to the king. Well, the king wasn't real happy with that message from God. And I think you should know this, that sometimes when God's speaking into your life and you're sharing, that some people may not be real happy about that. And they may get upset because how many of you know that with the most wicked man that had ever been a king in Israel, that the land was in a mess? Israel was a mess. You have a king like that, you've got a mess. Israel, as a nation, began to give themselves over to the worship of Baal. And so we find that there's going to be a confrontation in this prophet's life, along with the king, along with the prophets of Baal. And we're not going to have time to go to all those passages this morning, but I want you to know that God had a plan for Elijah. He had a message for him that was going to put his life in danger. In fact, because of the drought and because of what was happening, there was a bounty on his life. They were looking for him. They were looking to kill him. Jezebel wanted Elijah dead. She was on a mission. Ahab was searching. He sent out all kinds of people looking to find the prophet, but God had a plan. And God's plan included, it included lunch. God's plan included everything he had need of. And when you read this, it's kind of amazing because right here, God directs him to go east, to the east, to hide at Kerith Brook at a place east of where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you. Now, a raven was not a clean animal, so this was like in the construction business, we used to call them roach coaches. We have no construction people here, or you would know that. They would pull up, oh, there's one back there that knows about the roach coach. You just knocked them off and went ahead and ate whatever you got, right? And that was the way it was. And so ravens were not known for being clean and nice, and, you know, they were not the clean birds that you were allowed to eat. But a scavenger, but look at what the raven brings him. The ravens brought him bread and meat two times a day, morning and evening. God feeds the prophet. We're in some kind of rough days today, and I want to remind you that God is your supplier. God is your supplier. It's not the government. Whoever's in office, whoever becomes the next president, whatever happens in Washington, God is still your God, and God is still sovereign, and there could be a false prophet on every corner, and God still will know how to take care of his people. Let me assure you that your survival is not based upon President Trump getting into office. Let me tell you, I pray for righteousness to be raised up in the White House. I pray for God to bring us a president that has reverence, that's God-fearing. I pray for a president that's going to bow his knee and give the glory to God. I pray for a president that's going to be pro-life. I pray for a president that's going to be pro-faith, that's going to continue to give us freedom in this nation to worship God. I pray for that because Jeremiah 29 instructs the righteous, even if you're in a land of the heathens and you're captive there, to pray for that city to be blessed and work for the peace of that city. Because if that city is at peace and at rest, then you will be blessed as a result of it. But I really sense that part of the mission this morning is to say, check your hope level. If you're constantly being disappointed, then maybe you have some hopes that are not grounded in the mind, the will, the purposes, and the Word of God. And I would challenge you this morning, there isn't time to go through the whole story, we just don't have time. But as Michael was sharing this morning, you know what Michael was sharing? There's hope for a young man like Michael. I love his story because his story is very different from my story. And so when he shares his story, I'm sure at least one person could relate to what Michael had to say this morning. Yeah, I see a hand up. There's at least one in here that could relate to what Michael had to say. And to realize that even though Michael was going left and he was turning left and he was turning wrong, he wasn't going right, he's going left and he's going left, and God would touch him, and then he would go wrong again and God would touch him, and he'd go wrong again and God would touch him. Did you hear in his story how many times God put somebody in his life to minister to him? And you have to understand that if Michael had had a praying mom and dad, it would have still been the same way maybe. That maybe there would have been all of these people involved in his life that were involved in steering him and directing him and calling him to come to faith, a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. I'm burdened for my family and your families. I'm burdened for our city. I'm burdened for our nation. I am burdened that our courts are in such a mess. I am burdened that our schools are such a mess. I'm downright angry that our children are being taught that they should explore the opposite sex in their schools and are being introduced to trans lifestyles. I'm angry about that. I think we need to be angry at the work of the enemy. I believe we should be standing up. But we need to love the people that are victims. Many have been victimized by the gods of this age and by the wickedness of this generation. And we're living at a time that America has never been so low. Don't take this wrong, but I believe it with all of my heart that we have leaders in America that are at war with God. They have drawn a line and they have personally and spiritually gone to war against God. And our nation cannot survive this kind of leadership much longer. This nation can only survive today because the righteous are still here. If the trumpet sounded before we left this morning and we are caught away, this world and America as well is going to rock and reel and decline with unbelievable destruction almost instantaneously beyond what anyone could project or believe. This is our nation. Elijah was called of God for his day. We can't look outside to see, well, who's going down the street that's called for this day? No. We need to just find a mirror and say, God, you called me for this day. You called me for this day. I'm a part of your plan for this day. Abundant life is a part of God's plan for this day. The property He's given us is a part of the plan of God for this day. And my wife just mentioned casually, but I don't know what all's going on with the banking. I just know we've had resistance upon resistance upon resistance. We've had a lot of opposition. But you know what? God is still God. And God knows how to change, or He knows how to remove the opposition. And I've experienced this so many times in my life. And I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, if we as a church were doing what God wanted us to do, we wouldn't have such opposition. Oh, the opposite is totally true. If you are living for God and you're doing what's right, you're going to be fighting demons and the devil every day for victory and for advancement and for the salvation of your household. It's not going to come easily. We stand on the Word of God. Occasionally, my wife and I will see a little glimmer. We'll see a little breakthrough. We'll see a little bit of something in our family where we can see that God is at work. But let me tell you, every day the devil wants to put a billboard in front of our eyes and show us everything that's coming apart. He wants us to hear every wicked, demonic thing that is said. He wants us to see everything that's out of order. He wants us to think about it. But let me tell you, we need to keep getting alone with God and saying, God, I'm just going to lay all of the stuff, all of the junk, all of the news that's false and wicked down at the cross, and I'm here for you to fill my hope back up and to stir up fresh faith in my life. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patience. The cross of grief or pain.